All right, here we go.
What should I do and how should I do it? I got a problem and I gotta get through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library? Yeah, but I don't read, so I watch some TV. I see what Hulu has to offer me. I got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I got more options than I got time. I just need a little distraction to keep my mind off my lack of action. I just need a little TV so I can forget completely. Forget completely.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
I'm Rich.
And we want to thank everyone out there for listening to our show.
Thanks.
And following us on all social media. You can find us at Life's a Binge across all social media platforms. Yes.
Even my
Snapchat. We should start Snapchatting on our Can we do we'll have to look into that.
You can do that, for
as
sure.
As Life's a Binge.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Sign up. I'm sure I've signed up at some point for that. And you just log in with our login. I'm sure it's there.
Oh, for Snapchat?
I think so.
I mean, I have like my personal one.
Oh, well, do you want to do from your...
No, I thought it would be nice to get a Life's a Binge Snapchat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think there is one, I think.
Snapchat's a weird place, man.
It is a weird place.
I feel like Instagram does all the Snapchat stuff now. They even do the face filters stuff.
Not all of it.
Like what?
Like face filters? Snapchat's,
I mean, they don't disappear the pictures. They can on the story.
Snapchat's like dirty, though.
Still?
You know, I don't think it is anymore.
Still?
I think so. I think it's still potentially, if you want to be, it can be. But I think we talked about it before where I didn't want to do Snapchat forever because I'm like, that's where you send your pee-pee pics. I don't want to do that.
No. I don't even mean like individuals. I mean people have monetized.
They're dirty pools. Yes.
Naughty content.
But yes, because like you follow people on like Instagram and they're like, swipe up for my sexy snaps. And you're like, wait.
Like, I don't.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. I don't know if it was Twitter. Just where it's like they had a hashtag on there, and you hit the hashtag, and then it came up with porn. And you're like, is this what you want connected to your? Because they're hashtagging zillion things.
All sorts of stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
I don't know.
But anyway, you can follow us not
on
Snapchat
will get seen.
Right now.
if you link your content to porn, someone's going to see it.
It's true.
You can find us everywhere else other than Snapchat, particularly Instagram.
Yes.
For now, do the Snapchat.
Did
stuff
you see
on Instagram.
My Instagram?
I saw it.
The
Fatalizer. The Fatalize. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I did.
So Fatalizer isn't what it's called, though.
No.
BJ, it's not.
No.
It's a fatality.
No.
But you can also check us out if you want to subscribe to our show. That's over at the Patreon, patreon.com/lifesabinge. You can become a producer of the show. People like Tony and David and Kathy and Jess and Todd.
We're using regular names again.
And, you know, like I said, nowhere in the thing does it say you can demand that I call you Big Daddy Moneybags.
We will for a price.
$12.09.
Yep, for $12.10.
Then Kathy's out
Let's
there.
Make
as
it
well.
An even 20.
So, all sorts.
Right? We get a big money bag whenever. We'll call them whatever they want.
That's true. There is a $10 tier. I'm just
anybody over saying. $20.
Yeah,
we'll call their name.
Just sign up for the producer tier, and then you can be a producer. Because eventually, when there's like 170,000 patrons,
right.
I'm just gonna be like, thanks to the producers out there.
You know who you are.
I'm not gonna say Big Daddy Moneybags.
And you can play an audio clip from the producers.
That's right.
There you go.
So patreon.com/lifesabinge if you want to help us out. That would be lovely.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I saw David.
But yeah.
Again, at work. It was cool.
Yes.
And
Franklin.
We can wait on that. But he was very interested in talking about Muhammad Ali.
Ah.
And he was asking if I remember when he was Cassius Clay. I don't
stretch.
I think it was before I was born.
Right.
I
mean,
he was huge. But we'll talk about
you
that.
Jump
later.
On my workbench. Don't you do it. But the main thing that you could do is share the show and leave a rating and review on iTunes or Podomatic or wherever you're listening, because that will definitely help the algorithm pump our faces.
Yeah. And
voices.
If you like us on Facebook and you get posts from us about episodes, you know, it's a homegrown operation.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to share those with your friend group, when we do a new new episode. That would be greatly appreciated.
It
would help us a lot.
Very, very much appreciated.
Yeah. And so, yeah.
Yeah. So all that being said, let's go ahead and start the show. So take a big breath with us right now.
Life's a binge.
Right? Got the premature evacuation.
Premature, yes.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
Oh, man.
Did you finish breathing in?
Nope.
Sure, baby. Yeah. Sure, I did.
Done.
Yeah.
Are you not done? It was time, wasn't it? I thought
you were pretty much signaling. No,
I can do
you
this
weren't.
All day.
It's been a week. Okay, took a week off. I forgot what I was. I'm not up to my usual standards. Okay. Come on, just give me a break. It's a long week.
We'll try it again next week. Okay, we'll try it again. That's all we can do.
It'll be fine. I promise. I'll be better. I will be better. Just takes practice. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Good stuff. What were we saying? Oh, it's what's up.
Starting the show.
Yeah, what's up?
What's up? Just happened, huh?
I'll tell you what's up. We just got an email for a potential shoot date for a certain TV show.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
That's fantastic.
What date?
20th.
Of June?
March?
June.
Of June 20th.
Of March.
March is already passed.
Oh, okay.
I left my DeLorean.
We're in May. Like, we're in May. Yeah. That's a couple weeks ago.
I'm dumb.
Months?
I'm dumb and haven't been sleeping well.
Look, it's okay. You'll be better next week.
Exactly. Just give me another chance.
That's sweet. That'd be awesome.
June 20th, and what day of the week is that?
It's a Thursday.
Word.
Okay. I'll have to get my Zoo gig covered, but I can probably do that.
Yeah, you can. You better.
Yeah.
I can do it.
You look kind of pale, PJ. You might need to call in sick.
I only call in sick when I'm
pale
sick.
Now.
Right. I'm sick. Oh, right. I mean, you'll be pale then. Right. You're probably going to be sick then.
Well, no, it's different for that. Because that's the music at the zoo.
Oh,
gig.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not different because I never call in when it's not legitimate.
Right.
So,
of course. Just
no
like
one
everyone.
Would do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Who would ever do that? No one. A monster.
Demons.
Yeah. A freaking
beasts,
monster.
Savages. That's the ones who do that stuff.
Oh, man. So let's see. It's been
a couple of
weeks.
It has.
What'd you like? Did you like the break?
Yeah, I didn't even. I was gonna post a rerun, but then it got late on Sunday evening.
You know,
and I was
let
like,
Game of Thrones
you know what?
Roll. Let it roll.
I was like, I'm not doing jack squat.
It's not a bad call. Let Game of Thrones roll.
Well, and it's also because I digest podcasts probably faster and quicker than most human beings because I am just constantly listening to media all day or a day.
Mm-hmm.
And every single podcast I listen to takes breaks without announcing it or putting a replay or anything. And it's just like some of them will be gone for months at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I got a new one. Great. Sweet. But I imagine most people that listen to our show listen to other things as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're not there on Monday, then it's like, guess what? There's another thing for you to listen to.
Yeah. Right.
Like, and so we're back anyway. But yeah, it was definitely a well-deserved
and
break,
well-timed, too.
Even though it's
like,
a week. But yeah. Like, still, it's like, yeah, it was perfectly timed. I got right at the end of Game of Thrones. Let that rest. I've listened to many people talk about Game of Thrones, and I'm still on the fence with it, personally.
At length.
Yeah. I'm still on the fence with it, but for the most part, I enjoyed it. I think our episode on it rings true still.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
The most recent thing that I've been doing is I've been doing a lot more woodworking. So I made a little router table there.
Yeah.
I just need to get a plate for it.
You made this table here?
Mm-hmm. And the one that's standing on. And I think that was here before. Anyway, but yeah, I'm just starting to really get into the swing of it and keep getting more and more stuff dialed in.
Is it addicting?
It's relaxing. And it's a very... And it's like it's a hobby, but it's productive. It's like, hey, look, I made something.
The satisfaction of like having something done, like, is real, and legit. That was the one thing about like breaking my back doing a pool. I should only say that only the last few years when my arthritis has been so bad. But like working on the pools and stuff, it's like when you break it all down with your hands and clean it, and then put it back together and replace broken parts, and then put it back together. And boom, and then
I did
turn it on. Yeah, it's like satisfying. Mm-hmm. It's really satisfying. So and I imagine this is too.
It's very, very satisfying. And so, yeah, that little table, the router that's sitting on top of it eventually is going to be mounted underneath it so then I can route things very, very easily.
So it'll stay like stationary, and then you move the wood around it?
Correct.
Okay. Are all your tools Ryobi?
Yes. They most of like them? Because I was gifted...
Brand loyalty.
Well, I was gifted the set of the drill and circular saw. And then once you have the batteries, because the batteries are
all
pretty much the most expensive thing that you can get, mm-hmm. and all of the tools use the same batteries. So, and, I mean, the Ryobi ones are the cheapest of them out there. And I don't need the, because, like, you can get, like, Milwaukee or DeWalt brands, but those are expensive as hell. And Makita. I'm not a contractor, yeah. so I just use the home brand.
When Ryobi is sponsoring us, we would call it the most cost-effective.
Correct. Yeah. I didn't say cheap, did I?
Yeah.
No.
So, something positive.
Most bang for your buck.
It's true, though, and they work really well for me being a hobbyist. So, right. Yeah.
It's a damn good hobby, though.
It's really fun.
I'm honestly very jealous.
Like it's really last night, because I just built that little router table last night because Samantha had something to do and she was in there working on, she's doing a baby shower. And so she was like cutting out a bunch of stuff and like she was like, I'm going to be doing this and watching all this. I got to catch up on my show or whatever. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just be in the shop.
Be my little wood shop.
Yeah. And I just came out here and like
making wood stuff.
Made some stuff and put on a podcast while I was out here. It was just being in the zone. Like, it's really fun.
Yeah, yeah.
It's super relaxing and
productive. So does Samantha have anything out here? Like, or is this pretty much the garage is Jared country?
yeah. She uses the treadmill more than I do, actually.
This is Jared country out here.
But
light up a smoke. Dirt.
But,
yep.
It's what's for dinner. but no, I took over initially for the studio here, studio table with microphones on it. But,
studio, baby.
But yes. I took over initially for that, and then,
I do headshots in my living room. This is a studio.
Yeah, that's true. But she has, we also have our rooms. Like, I have an office, and she has an office in the house. But
you have four bedrooms?
Three.
Oh, no, three. Yeah. I guess I go, you and your wife share a room?
Right.
Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy
we
talk.
We have one bed.
What?
Kids today.
Man.
But it's funny. So I basically only use my office I've been doing all the voiceover stuff. And so I just use my office to record the voiceovers, which I should just come out here.
What's the sound? Is it?
I think it sounds better in the room.
It might have a little bit more cleaner sound.
Walls more absorbent.
Yep. Yeah. She doesn't really need or desire. I everyone can need more space, but she doesn't desire the space. Like I was like, I really want to have a workshop, and that's why when we got the garage, I was like, hell yes.
Hell yeah.
And plus, she benefits from it too. She's like, I could really use a coffin shelf. And I'm like, I got you covered.
You mean like this?
Yeah. And I finally finished that.
It's probably more to it than that.
That's about right.
Not in my brain.
No, that's about right.
And then when it's not, I'm like, I give up.
Yeah, so I finally finished it, stained it, put some finish on it and everything. So now she has it displayed with all her stuff on it too.
Neat.
Which is cool.
It looks good.
Yeah.
Looks good.
That's what's up with me. And that in work sucks, but don't need to go into that.
No. I think I asked you this last time.
Yeah.
You didn't get what happened with your route?
It was never mine.
It was never right.
She came back. And that was it. Yeah.
And so she has it now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're on a different route.
I just do something different usually every day. Like, say you take a vacation that week, then I can be like, I'm going to be BJ. And then I do your route for that
week. Are you always East County? Would you ever be my mailman?
Nope. I am always 92021, exclusively 92021. Very, very, very rarely I will do 92020 or 92019.
And so you deliver to my mother-in-law.
El Cajon only, yes, but yes, in 92020 on Olive Hills over there,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's right. That's where Joanna lives.
Correct. I know all.
Nice little shot. Good name drop there.
Yeah. That'll transition into my what's up. I hate to hijack it.
Did you get married?
Got married. No,
hey.
didn't get married. I did.
You said a transition.
I did like on Facebook Sunset Temple on Facebook, which is a venue that we've been looking at, which is owned by a friend of ours.
Oh, okay.
That's over in North Park, and that's about potential weddings, especially once I get the surgery done.
Where's that?
We can start looking. It's
Is it just like a hall?
It's connected. So the old Claire de Lune, okay, which is now Tamarindo. It's called. Yeah, it's a new
Tamarindo.
Thing. Yeah, Mexican restaurant.
It's good too, by the way.
It is good. I've eaten there and I've enjoyed it.
Good marg.
I had a margarita too, and it was good. It was good. But on that same building there, if you remember the Claire de Lune,
I was like, "What's a marg?" I'm an idiot.
Marg.
I'll be over here in the dumb section. Yeah, got it.
I don't think there's anything dumb about that. No. Sometimes like abbreviations drive me up.
Well,
because
I was like, "Ooh, Mexican food. That sounds good." Like, this is literally what I'm thinking while you guys are talking. I'm like, "Ooh, Mexican food sounds good." And I have a good marg. And I was like, "Is that like a new burrito? What the fuck is a marg?"
Marg burrito.
And then you're like, "Yeah, margarita." And I was like, "I'm an idiot."
But that same building, do you remember the Claire de Lune?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah. There's a hole upstairs.
Yeah, yeah, it was cool. And they used to also do comedy underground. Like, I remember going to see Matt Warburton do comedy.
Well, like, actually underground? Or?
Yeah, like, actually in the basement, like, in space there they did. And that was really cool. But they have also, for when they used to do the music festivals in North Park there, I forget what they called it, but now they do it in Point Loma, I think. But they used lots of different venues, including like kind of like some street scene.
Street
type.
Scene? Not street scene,
but
I was like, street scene's dead, right?
It's been is
dead.
It? Is
I thought it's been dead for a long time.
I think it's dead, and then it kind of reappears couple years. Like it hasn't been. It's been a little while. But it's like an independent music festival, something along those lines, and they would have music going on at lots of different venues in North Park. Now it's in. I don't even know if it exists anymore, but I had seen an act at the Sunset Temple before, and it's kind of like an old gymnasium / auditorium of like a school, like, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen like a 50s, 60s style.
Like the raised.
Yeah, so it's got like a stage, and then it's got hardwood floor, and they've redone it, and it's real nice.
Interesting.
And our friend Claire, who I friend after many years, they used to live next door to Tony over here in La Mesa.
Is that where he is?
Yeah, that's where Tony is. Yeah, Tony, you'd never guess from his call.
What?
His call?
Tony in La Mesa. La Mesa.
I got the first part, but where was he?
Where
was he again? But anyway, I forgot where I was going with all that. But anyway,
I asked if it was a hall.
It's kind of a hall.
Yeah,
it's kind of a hall.
Yes, yeah.
It's the answer to that. Sunset.
It's a long way away. Yeah, it's a hall. It's a long way away.
Because you're Anyway,
so.
Initially, you started talking about how it was going to be a transition because you're talking about your mother-in-law living out in El Cajon, and then that transition into wedding venue. And I don't know.
Anyway,
that's where my brain.
So what's up with me is that it's graduation time for both of my nephews.
Yeah.
I should say,
congratulations
both of my older
PhD.
Both of my older nephews. Yeah, because I have the older nephews and I have the younger nephews.
I
got
right.
Now, it's not worth it. Right. I can cricket myself.
I don't. I don't really get it.
He said it's graduation time, and I was like, "Congrats on your PhD."
Okay, that's not a reference to anything. It's just being.
It's
like,
just me saying, "Hey, you graduated. Yeah. Waka
good.
Waka.
Now you're a doctor."
Yeah, it's terrible. So I already cricketed myself.
But Anthony graduated from USD, cum laude or something like that. He graduated with honors. Like, I don't know if it was.
And he's a bachelor's of accounting.
Accountancy. Yeah, which is weird. I'd never heard of that before.
Accountancy.
So he can basically walk into any like accounting
firm.
He's
already got like a job if he wants to.
If football doesn't
pan
out.
Pro football doesn't
pan
out, he'll be fine.
Get a job.
That's awesome.
Yes, he'll be fine. Word. But we're hoping that he gets a chance to play somewhere.
Totally.
So then Richie's high school graduation is next week. And so my mom and sisters are here in town for that, which has been nice. And so that's what's been up family wise is they've been in town.
Hi,
and
doing that.
Hi, Abby.
Abby and Valerie, and Valerie's a little immobile right now, and so because part of me was like she hasn't been on. I thought it'd be nice to kind of like get her on, but maybe another time.
Yeah,
maybe another time. Maybe we'll record a special segment in Portland.
Absolutely,
with them. But,
totally.
Portland.
Man on the street.
But lots of stuff going on. And then speaking of our patrons, I ran into David, who's a patron of the show.
Word. Lord.
And he was very, I almost pulled out my phone and started to record it.
You should have.
Except he's, but by the time I started thinking of that, he's like, you know what, I have to go work and go do work.
Garbage.
Which, yeah, I know. To me, I'm like, dude, you never have to work.
Just follow him anyway.
Yeah, have you met me? You never have to work. So, but he was very interested in Muhammad Ali, because we had mentioned that, I think, last time. We didn't talk about it very much, but just that I had watched it, I think, or maybe we talked about it a little bit. But he wanted to know if I remembered Muhammad Ali. Say again?
I don't think we did talk about it.
I don't think so either.
Oh, we didn't we? Okay.
Maybe he just saw that.
But I watched it in that time. I have seen it.
It's good. It's
we'll
really
get to
good.
That.
We'll get to that, too.
In the next
but
segment.
He wanted to know if I remembered Muhammad Ali before he was Muhammad Ali, when he was Cassius Clay.
I'm going to call him Clay. I'm going to call him Clay.
Yeah. What's my name? Like, yeah, that's so, it's so good. I mean, it's all just documentary, but it's so good. And a lot of it, like, from the mid-70s on, I remember it all, but we'll talk about that later because we won't talk about that.
So. That's right. Yeah.
How about you, Rich? What's been up?
I just got back from Descanso.
A
good friend of mine, Crystal, is trying to purchase a property out there so that she can open up a science school / camp.
A cult.
Yeah, cult. She's not charismatic enough to lead a cult, though. Like, if I was involved, then it could be a cult.
Where is this? So where is this?
It's like a little...
Oh, it's
like,
in Descanso. Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay. Cult-y. All right. It's a science school out in the middle. Okay, got it.
There's no ology attached to the science part.
That's dope.
But yeah,
dude.
So she needed, I guess the real estate photos that they had were like crap. And she's trying to like get investors like, hey, this could be really cool. Like if I can get this off the ground.
Right.
And she's like, she can't show them like terrible photos. So she called me. And then so we drove out there today and it was cool. It's a huge space. It's all like totally overgrown. And there's like bees in the walls. And like it needs a lot.
Awesome.
Of work. Yeah, we walked by the part that's like the actual school part. I'm like, are there bees coming out of the wall right there?
like,
there's
oh,
a
yeah.
hole in the wall.
There's...
And there's a swarm of bees coming out of it.
Science okay. school / honey
the
shop.
Other
guys,
way,
we can produce our own honey.
Well, that's the other thing I say. Like, this would be a great place to turn into a wedding venue, too. Okay. Like, or even like an event venue at all.
Yeah, which is another transition. I'll take to jump on you, but we'll
jump
we'll
on
go
it.
Back to it.
Jump on it.
So, our previous guest, Tiger, Bud Bill,
mm-hmm.
who.
Mariner Moose
and X Factor finalist.
Not a major league hitter though.
Not a major league hitter. No, he's got trouble with the curve, yeah. like a lot of us.
But I can hit it.
He was saying that he was looking for a space, like a piece of property to buy to turn into a wedding venue.
We
like
can't that. Have that one.
And but I don't know around here. Like that would be a very good investment. Yeah. Like
oh, absolutely.
You know, and like if it's you could get it. You could just create, if you could do an event a week,
yeah.
you'd be actually an event a well, week, you'd be loaded.
Yeah. It's not if you could, it's when you do.
Yes.
Because there's so, like, this is one of the top wedding destinations in the country.
100%. San Diego?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah.
So if you put on, make a website, say, we are a wedding venue, people will, they will, if you build it,
they will come.
They will come.
Yeah.
No, we literally, after we had my sister's wedding at my brother's house, he was like, dude, we could do this. just yeah. turn my backyard into a wedding venue.
Yeah,
and his, like yeah, his
big
backyard.
Enough.
How big is it?
Pretty big.
How many
really?
People? How many people were at that
a
one?
Bunch. We had
if you can,
that wasn't your 100. Wedding wasn't in his backyard.
If you can do,
no, mine was not. My sister's.
Oh, your sister's.
If you can
was,
comfortably
okay.
do,
we had 100 people
anywhere in the neighborhood of 100 people. Yep. Then yeah, you could.
Yep. Yep. We set it up. We set up the wedding on the upper lawn with the chairs and mm-hmm. the archway and everything. And then down below, he has like a slab where it was like reception was down there. He put a tent up over the slab.
Yeah.
And I was like,
and where? What part of town?
El Cajon.
El Cajon.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude. Well, he owns it already.
Yeah, it's his house. And so, and I was the officiant. He's like, oh, and by the way, we can also do your wedding if you want to, like officiate your wedding.
Charge him a location fee, and you can have like you know one person, somebody you trust, like say J. Rod here, like on site, and then you just peace out for the weekend
yep.
while they do their thing.
Yep,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's
like
weird.
We
it's
should crazy. All invest in this.
It's true.
I've
anyway.
Got like two different IRAs. One I could like pull from and
an
invest
IRA.
Invest in it.
Got
family, IRA. Family with you might be down for like doing it, and plus mm-hmm. entertainers, performers, photographers.
I don't know any of those.
We could, not to mention cake
yeah.
makers.
No, it's mm-hmm. true. We literally could have
a
full
fat
functioning,
fucking, yeah, yeah, like a really good
wedding factory.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's what I call them.
It's true. Mm-hmm. We could.
It's not a bad thought.
No.
So let's ruminate on that, everybody. We'll move on with the show.
Yeah.
But let's ruminate on that.
True story.
I'm not going to touch the pork rinds.
You just touched it.
Too close. The past the pork rind segment is over.
Yes.
Get away.
That was that was early. That's our famous unrecorded segment of every episode.
Past the pork rinds.
Welcome to Pass the Pork
Rinds. You got to drop it down like four more octaves and add some echo on it.
Pass the pork rinds.
If I'm making the drop,
today
that's what it's going to sound like.
Drop!
Big crunch
today
noise
on
afterwards.
Pass the pork rinds.
Yeah.
That's when you need those echo dials.
I know.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Forget about it. That's what's up with me.
Cool.
There's adventures in East County.
Yeah. Word.
And we're about to get rich.
That's what's up.
That's what's up.
This just in.
Lots of news.
Do tell.
Oh, good. We just need to go ahead and just
BJ's
add
BJ's like picking up his phone like, oh, God.
We just got to add that. Yeah, just news.
Rich Soublay.
Should I start with my favorite piece of news or my least favorite piece of news?
Least.
My least favorite piece of news, which is weirdly also a piece of news that I do like anyway. R. Kelly has been charged with 11 new counts of sexual abuse.
Hmm. Sweet. So 11 more things he can get away with.
Yeah.
Yay.
Because justice.
That's funny. That's like he's been charged. It's funny because it's like, yay. But at the same time.
Charged is not convicted.
Well, and not only that, at the same time, I'm like,
what is even convicted for someone like that?
Right.
And I don't I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility that he as a victim as well. Like that's like.
Sure.
Like that the cycle is continuing. And,
yeah.
You know, that's the same when we talk about Michael Jackson, which is like, it's sad. And I think that he's probably guilty, but I think that he is just as probably a victim as well. If not more likely.
Entirely possible.
So anyway, it's always just sad. It's just sad for everybody. And, but I'd rather err on the side of justice.
Hey, I'll just do all the sad news first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hit me.
Kit Harington checked into rehab.
Really? Ooh. I didn't know. Yeah. Well, how would I? But. I had no idea that.
How would you? Because you don't read the news, BJ.
I guess not.
I read the entertainment news.
But when we chat, he never mentions that he has a problem.
Drugs,
alcohol, booze.
Yeah.
Ending Game of Thrones was hard on him.
That makes a lot of sense.
A large part of his identity, for a very long time.
Yeah,
for 10 years.
And then I'm sure the reception to it probably had some effect as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Like
I would imagine. I mean,
poor
I don't
reception.
Like, if you're an actor in that, this thing that you've literally bled and sweated over, and people are like, this is garbage!
Rewrite it! Redo it!
Like, that, I mean, even seasoned people, like, that could probably get to, I would imagine.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't fucking know, but.
Do you remember
the time?
The little imagery of Ben Affleck talking about Superman versus Batman? And then they're like talking about, and they like cut to
him.
And
he's
like,
so solemn face.
And they're like, oh,
that's fantastic.
That's gotta suck.
It's
got to.
It's
I mean, like, literally, like, we have no frame of reference for that type of
feeling.
Like, yeah, you know, so before, yeah.
I have like one millionth of that when someone says, I don't like that picture. I'm like, okay.
Right. Speaking of pictures,
I'm sure that,
posted today. I don't know. It was like a composite you did of like your face all like.
That was not a composite.
Oh, it was a long exposure?
All in camera, baby.
Word.
I got the skills to pay the bills.
Okay. Chumps composite.
Look good. Well, I mean.
I composite too.
Yeah.
Whoa, slow down.
Well, you are a chump.
Ooh,
oh, wait a minute.
Nice. That's dope.
Yeah.
That's a good looking photo.
Well, thank you.
But
yeah, like something you loved to do, you know, and people are like, that's just shit all over this.
Well, and I mean,
that's
to not
a bummer.
Get too much into it, like they just shit on him in the last season anyway. Like, what was the point of him being a Targaryen at all?
He's loyal to his queen.
Just saying. There's no point. He was just
she's
a,
my queen.
He said that more than anything.
It was pointless. He was a pointless character that last season. So everyone was pointless except for Danny.
He was a plot device.
I don't want to get into it.
Device for the plot.
We took a break for this, so we didn't have to get into it.
We'll have to revisit it.
I'm sure.
Yeah. It's okay, because I have more news.
I wanted to talk about this last time, but we didn't.
Oh,
I don't think so.
Oh,
but you mentioned it in the chat, and I was intrigued by it anyway.
Yes,
Robert Pattinson will be Batman.
That was at the top of my news list.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
I am on board.
I like it,
and
that dude can act.
I am sick and tired of the internet.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm tired of it. I am
those
tired
two things in the
it.
Same week. Like, people, because people are still, like, still bitching about that thing that we're not going to talk about anymore. And now this comes along, and they're like, no, this can't be bad.
Well,
literally
and
every
when,
guy who's been cast as Batman has had to deal with this bullshit.
Well, like, or any movie, like, and it stems back, go all the way back to the Heath Ledger thing, where everyone's like, boo, that's the worst casting of all time. Dude won a fucking Oscar for it.
Okay? Actors act.
Like,
get
that's
the
their
net.
Job. Get over it. And they're like, but he sucked in Twilight. Well, he's just like a good-looking, like, tween, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, get over yourselves. And it sucks when the internet wins. Like, the whole Sonic thing, yeah, it looked like garbage. We all get it. But they complained and bitched and moaned so freaking much that they literally had to go and redo the movie, which extended the release date by about a year.
I firmly don't like – I wasn't, like, up on going to see Sonic anyway,
right.
So I wasn't, like, invested in
Who
that.
Who cares?
So now – at first I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. They're going to redo it. But I'm like, you know what? That sucks.
It sucks for everyone involved.
That really sucks.
Does it make you kind of want to see it more? Because honestly, I wanted to see Ghostbusters remake more after everybody bitched about it so much. I'm like, well, I'm going to see this because I'm not going to be bullied out of, like
– I hear that.
An experience, you know.
No.
I just don't
see how it could be very good. Like,
it doesn't call my name. Just like the Pokemon movie, as much as like Ryan Reynolds, I'm not gonna.
I've heard that's real. I have no reference to it.
Like of like, right. Yay! It's exciting that this is gonna happen. Yeah, to me, it's like,
I just, it's like my get off my lawn moment, I guess, where it's like, just shut.
Old man
up,
yells
internet.
At internet.
Seriously though, like, shut up, internet.
I
like,
agree.
Get over it.
Yeah.
Like. Just let them do their job. Like, there's a whole slew of people that go involved into this. There's casting directors. There's screen tests. Mm-hmm. There's readings. There's actors. There's auditions. There's agents. There's an entire fucking business behind your freaking entertainment.
It's not like they just,
like,
run into each other.
It's
at a coffee
show
shop.
Business,
it's like,
guys.
Oh, yeah,
like,
you could be in the movie.
Yeah, let's get this guy.
This isn't fucking Entourage, guys.
That's
not
so
how it
funny.
Works.
Like, there's a whole way I'm gonna remember
business,
that, like, because I have a reference for what I've been watching. That makes me think that. So when we talk about that, hopefully I'll remember that. Hey, you could be in the movie. No, you could be in the movie.
Yeah.
But
so anyway, I'm on board for it. I really like Robert Pattinson. He's a really good actor.
He's got a movie.
Like, anybody would do Twilight. Like, I would be like, yeah, make me a sparkly vampire. Fuck it. You're going to put me in a series
of
movies.
A huge book series.
Of a freaking, like, exactly.
He's in a movie right now, like an art house movie at Cannes that just fucking killed because apparently he's amazing in it. And I'm like,
he's good in all sorts of stuff, other than Twilight.
Yeah. It's funny.
Twilight was bad.
My
didn't write it.
my godson, Lennox, who follows hip-hop very closely. And so he posts a lot of stuff about hip-hop and entertainment.
Yeah.
And I think it was more about Game of Thrones, about people bitching about Game of Thrones. And it just reminded me, is like, it takes an awful lot to create something of value. To
right.
Pull it out of yourself. Use your creativity, your imagination, and put it effort to sit down and create a piece of art, and it takes next to nothing to shit on it.
Oh yeah.
And so there's value creators and there's value destroyers.
Less than nothing. To
yeah.
Shit.
And so it takes. So to be a value destroyer takes nothing.
Yeah.
But to be a value creator takes a lot more. And so people shit on it with a little bit.
You should write
too
that
much
down.
Ease.
Good thing we're recording this.
It's good. It's yeah, and it's not mine. I can't claim it. Oh. I can't claim that. That's something that I read years ago about something or another. But
we don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's BJ.
It's mine now. Right. It's mine now. BJ Lawrence said once that that it
copyright.
Takes a lot more. It's easier to be a value creator than it's easier to be a value destroyer than a value creator.
Absolutely. Yeah. True story.
But anyway, let's create value. We're creating value now.
Yeah. I got lots of news, man. I told you.
Excellent.
There's the next two are my two favorite pieces of news. I'll start with my less favorite and then my favorite.
Excellent.
Jordan Peele is doing a Candyman reboot.
Ooh, I heard about that.
I didn't hear about that until today. This has been a thing for a while now, apparently.
Yes, I heard about it.
Did you watch it? The original one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see that one, though.
No?
Oh, is that the one where they do it in the mirror? So it's kind of like, is that right?
It's similar.
You say it three times.
Yeah,
you say his name and comes up and kills you.
Shoots bees out of his
mouth. And apparently the original actor is going to have some role in the movie. There you go.
Candyman
will be in the movie.
That's dope.
The black dude.
Awesome. Yes.
Yep.
Creepy looking dude.
Oof. He is creepy. Perfect.
I'm on board for that. And I surround myself with podcasts and stuff, and I listen to entertainment podcasts other than Life's a Binge. But I don't know. But like one of the people were talking about the new Twilight Zone series and how Jordan Peele's behind that. It's on CBS All Access.
Oh, yeah.
And they say that he is very much handling the, I guess, towing the line between like race and like, it's like a racial Black Mirror kind of thing where it's very, very race relations heavy in the new Twilight Zone. And they're like, it's perfect. They're like, it's very, very good and very, very perfect. And to then hand him the helm of Candyman, which kind of toes that line also, I think would be fantastic. Because it's like right
on
society. It's like right in his wheelhouse.
Yeah. I should watch it now because I did buy a month of CBS All Access so that I could watch
Twilight Zone,
Tiger Star Woods Trek. in the final of the thing while I was at work.
Watch Twilight Zone.
Star Trek.
Yeah, I watched like a 3 or 4 episodes of Star Trek.
And Picard.
And it's freaking bomb. It's really good. Yeah. Like the Star Trek.
Bringing back Picard
for that show?
No, he's got his own show.
It's called Picard.
Is it only on CBS?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's the game. That's the game right
that's
now.
The game, baby.
Stupid. It's dumb.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating.
Anyway, yeah, I'm excited about that. It's gonna be good because he can do horror very well, and he can do racial related horror even better. So.
I still haven't seen Us yet. Is that streaming?
Not yet.
I think not you can rent it. No,
not yet.
No, not yet.
Maybe you can rent it.
Maybe you can.
Yeah. You probably can rent it.
I think VOD style.
So I'm looking for that. I'm looking forward to that. So,
favorite
last but certainly not least, a little not maybe not little remembered, but little celebrated teen comedy from the late '90s. Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh yes, you said that. That
Jennifer Love Hewitt is interested in doing a reunion movie for Can't Hardly Wait, and I am so on board with it.
Love it.
Can't Hardly Wait is one of my favorite movies in that genre.
Absolutely.
Like, it seems like I've seen that one, but
oh my
Jennifer
God.
Love Hewitt is so attractive.
It's Ethan Embry who he had a connection with her freshman year and then
it was like nothing.
She started dating the football player and he was a nerd and he tried to write her a letter to tell her how he feels and Seth Green's a like weird kid.
Okay.
Seth Green is great in that
He's
movie.
Fantastic
actually.
In that movie.
Okay, so I haven't seen it. But
really?
I don't think so.
It's good times.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
It was one of my
Jerry O'Connell has like a brief cameo in it.
When
too.
I went on a rant about movies that could be solved with cell phones, that's like top of the list.
Yep.
Hey, I like you.
There it is.
Message on Facebook.
Text. Yes.
The end.
How do I sell? I freaking tell her, man.
Yeah.
Killing me.
I would almost be like jealous of
who else is in that movie?
Someone who could say that.
Donald Faison's in that movie.
Yes,
let's see. Breckenmeyer.
Breckenmeyer.
He's also part of the band.
It stars Ethan Embry, Jennifer Love Hewitt, Charlie Corsmo. Don't know who that is. Lauren Ambrose. Who do you know what she's in? I don't know.
I know who she
she's
is.
On, she was on. She was on a TV show just recently. I'm never gonna.
I've heard the name before, so I've probably seen her, but I don't want to click on her because I'd lose the thing there. But
Seth Green.
Peter Facinelli. Never heard of
him. No.
And Seth Green.
Oh, that's the kid from Hook, right?
Oh.
You want me to check? Want me to click on him and see what it is?
90%. It's a tall, skinny, lanky guy.
Yeah. Let's see.
Kind of weird.
Oh, looking. Yeah.
He's been on the Fox series Fastlane. He
Home
played
run,
Dr.
Jack.
Carlisle in the Twilight Zone.
Oh, not
Twilight.
Him.
Oh, in Twilight. He played Dr. Carlisle Cullen.
Oh, no. That's the football player guy.
The other ones. Yeah.
Peter
earlier ones.
Facinelli.
Yeah.
But the movie is fun.
Yeah,
like, it's
good.
It's good fun.
Right on.
It is.
So I'd be happy to shell out $5 at Hazard Center to go see that.
Yeah, Tuesday movie day to go see the sequel. We've been waiting. Ha ha ha. There's your title.
Hey.
See what I did.
That's terrible.
That's
time.
And that's the way it was.
With Rich Sublet.
Woo.
I don't know where I'm going to go in the bus.
Right, okay, let me do the Oregon first for it.
For what?
Before the next segment.
Do you know what we do with this show anymore?
Don't we do it from this into what you're watching?
No.
No.
If we had a voicemail, it would go into voicemail. If we had a movie review, which we do, we'll do a movie review.
And then we do
a commercial break. And then we do what you're watching.
Because this show is about what we're watching since we don't have a main topic.
True story.
Okay. Yes.
But let's take, not a break, but let's listen to what Maddie has to say. Because now that Game of Thrones and all that stuff's over,
He's got movie reviews.
Maddie back with a What Do I Know?
And now, another installment of What Do I Know with Matt Warburton.
What's up, binges? I'm Matt, and this is What Do I Know? Well, I've been off for a while. There's been a lot going on, but I'm back. Even though I haven't been so active on the recording, I've still been active on the movie watching, which means I've got some catching up to do. So I'm going to throw a medley of movie thoughts at you, or maybe more a film review flight. We've got a couple, nice. So let's get to it. So Avengers Endgame, obviously an amazing movie. It was a brilliant end to the 11-year arc of movies that Marvel made, as well as a great way to pass the torch onto the next generation. I thought that they did all the characters justice. I loved that Ant-Man ended up playing such a significant role. Although I've heard flack that people thought it was dumb that Ant-Man was just pulled out of the quantum realm randomly by a rat. But seriously, is it really that random that Disney would have a rodent save the day?
Oh boy, Ant-Man, we're gonna kill Thanos!
Next movie! Nice. There's been a lot of political movies coming out lately, but the most unlikely has got to be Long Shot, where Charlize Theron, I don't know, plays Charlotte Field, who is running for president. Seth Rogen is Fred Flarsky, an edgy journalist and childhood friend of Charlotte, who she hires as her speechwriter. It's actually pretty witty, clever, and cute for what you would expect, and really smart. I particularly loved a speech that O'Shea Jackson Jr. has about political lines, which is a breath of fresh air because it's
Ice
not
Cube, son.
At all divisive, but promotes valuing people over party, which I really dig. It melts my cold centrist heart. But be warned, it is still a Seth Rogen movie through and through. So if you're not a fan of Seth Rogen's style, there is a good chance that you will not be so into this movie. Okay, next. Detective Pikachu.
Nice.
This is definitely a movie made for the fans. Unfortunately, I was never so into Pokemon, so a lot of the movie went over my head. Unlike Marvel, I don't feel they did a great job bringing people who are unfamiliar with the franchise up to speed. Basically, watching Detective Pikachu was like me watching football, constantly going, wait, what's going on now? How come the clock stopped? Why did he stop running? Why were they able to take the ball then and not now? I'm so confused. Detective Pikachu really doesn't give a whole lot of explanation of why Pokemon do what they do. Just that certain Pokemon do certain things, and you just have to accept it as it comes. But I could tell people who were on board were enjoying it. They were all sorts of giddy. And finally, Toy Story 4. Okay, I actually haven't seen this movie, but I went to Disneyland last week, and they showed like the first 15 minutes of the movie in the Tomorrowland Theater. Let me tell you. Every time a new Toy Story comes out, I'm like, do we really need this? Then I watch it and I'm like, yep, yeah, we do. The amount of emotion, excitement, and laughter crammed into those first 15 minutes was insane. I, for one, can't wait for it to come out on June 21st. Well, we have come to the end of our tasty movie review sampler. So take this as you will. Take my advice or take yourself to a theater and see them on your own because, hey, what do I know? Be sure to check back next time as I see how the Brothers Gunn tackle a Superman-inspired horror film because I'm watching Brightburn. Until next time, I've been Matt, and this has been What Do I Know?
Dang, Matthew.
Thanks, Matt.
Well done, my friend. Very, very well done.
Don't mind me.
And Matt, you're not alone there.
Sorry.
Thank you, Matt, for another great installment of What Do I Know?
Pokemon doesn't really explain Pokemon either.
Right. They just do what they do.
That's not just you, man.
Well, that's why you have to get your Pokedex and you got to, you know, check it out. And then you can learn what
they
do. No,
what you got to do
is play the card game.
Is catch them all.
Catch them all.
Gotta catch them all.
Gotta catch them all. Gotta catch them all. Pokemon! We need to do another theme song episode just so I can play the Pokemon theme song.
I didn't get that.
That theme song is
It's the best theme song of all time.
Honestly.
I did not know that that was
it's the very best. So rocking.
No one ever was. Boom, boom, boom.
Go on.
I could do the whole thing, and I do not want to subject our listeners.
This is my real test.
To train them is my cause.
Pokemon. I'm loving this. I'm loving this. Yeah,
it's fantastic.
It's real.
You can go as long as you want because I'd be happy.
You're
I'd
welcome, be, commercial break, I'd for the Pokemon theme song.
Yeah.
Because it's coming right at you right now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Yay.
Well done, sir. We're back.
Yo, we're back.
We are back and better than ever. And
rousing
now,
break.
BJ, you said you wanted to do the organ intro?
Yes.
Do it.
Son of a bitch.
Perfect.
Luckily, I got the lid on there.
So what you watching? What you watching?
Yeah, just like I planned it. Perfectly done. Son of a bitch!
You just dropped. It was like a drop of Pepsi in that bottle too.
Oh boy!
It was a little bit of Pepsi with Jim Beam vanilla in it.
It's right at your foot.
You can get it.
Yeah. You're like, it's gone.
It's gone.
That's
in me.
He's like, ask me after my surgery.
Yeah,
I can pick it up.
It's gone forever. It's funny. I dropped something recently, and then I was like, oh shit. Then I was like looking around and then like somebody was there and they were like, do you want me to get that? I'm like, yes, please.
With this.
Thank you, Rich.
You're welcome.
But, well, I'll hit this for you.
Okay. All right, let's try it again. We'll try it again.
Go for it.
So what you watching?
Nice recovery.
Well done. It's like it never happened.
Right. Yeah.
Except it did.
Except it did, and we laughed, and we left it in for sure. Also, you just heard the Pokemon theme song, pure and straight.
Yes.
If you stick through the very end of the show, you'll hear us commenting over said theme song, because I'm going to plug all that at the end of the show.
Oh, okay.
Because we were saying stuff on top of it. Anyway, so I actually watched a couple of things. And one of the, I'm going to start us off by saying that I watched Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Did he break it?
Yes. And it ties into what we were saying earlier about the... There's a part in the movie where he... It's such a stupid plot of the movie where they need to, like... If you know anything about Wreck-It Ralph, it's about video games. Vanellope's a racing game. A kid breaks the steering wheel on the cabinet of her game,
mm-hmm.
and then they can't get a replacement because the company's out of business, and the only place that has one is there's one on eBay or whatever, and it costs too much money, and the owner of the arcade doesn't want to buy it, so Ralph and Vanellope go into the internet to go to eBay to acquire said steering wheel to ship it to the arcade.
All right. Simple.
Yeah.
But effective.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So then they go on the internet and they think that eBay is a game and the way to win is to get the highest bid. And so they just basically bid against themselves
mm-hmm.
as they're laughing, having a good time. And they bid like $27,000 or something. So then they have to come up with the money so that way they can send the steering wheel to the arcade. So then how are they going to raise $27,000 on the internet in a week?
Steal it.
Ralph becomes a viral video sensation and gets a bunch of likes and then converts that to money, blah, blah, blah. So he stumbles into the comment section on some of his videos,
mm-hmm.
and it's just people are like, this is great. Ralph is funny. Da, 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 da. And then like one pops up. It's like, I hate him so much. Ralph sucks. This is terrible. This is garbage. Blah, blah, blah. And it just ties back into what we were talking about earlier about the internet being a vile place of hatred and vitriol for no reason whatsoever, and how it's so much easier to, you know, spew hate than it is to share love or whatever you said. So
yeah,
it's easier to destroy value than create it.
Yeah, copyright BJ Lawrence.
Yep.
I'm gonna be a trademark actually.
Yes, trademark. So it was just when we were talking about that, I was like, oh, that tied into that movie.
Nicely done.
But it's just very bizarre that that movie exists in the first place. It doesn't nearly have the same heart that the first one did.
Mm.
It was fun and enjoyable. And Disney was 1,000,000% on board with making fun of themselves, and it was the best part of the movie.
That's good.
When they, like...
How do you not call it Ralph Wrecks the Internet?
That's what he said in one of the trailers.
It does it? Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, good. Because that seems so... Because
he's Wreck-It Ralph?
Yes!
Right. But the phrase is break the internet. You
right.
got to break the
right.
internet. Which is dumb. And I think Maddie talked about it when he did the review of it, or maybe we brought it up when he did the review of it, where it's like they're doing all these things that are relevant now, but it's not really going to be relevant
in the future. It's barely relevant now.
Right, exactly. Like, oh yeah, I do remember bringing that up, because Black Panther, when she's like, what are those? It's like, does anyone even know what that is anymore?
I know. I didn't when I watched the movie.
Right.
Yeah, I had no idea.
So, but it was fun. I watched Ralph Breaks the Internet. I also watched...
and you liked it.
Yeah, I did. But I'm not a sucker.
That's my boy, right?
What?
Is that not Seth Rogen?
No, it's John C. Reilly.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
I like John C. Reilly.
And Sarah Silverman.
And her. I like her, too.
Jane Lynch and Jack McBriar. He was on.
Yeah, I like him, too.
Yeah.
I ran into
I'm going to see this movie.
Did you see...
You
didn't see Wreck-It Ralph?
Nope. Or the first one's good.
Wreck-It Ralph is good. I get weepy when I watch Wreck-It Ralph.
Really?
100%.
That's cool.
I'm good.
That's cool.
Or I'm bad, and that's good. Goddamn. Anyway.
Yeah.
I will watch that.
I could send it to you, I've sent you other things, and then you'll say you'll watch them.
The whole
and
movie?
Then you won't. Probably. I sent you Chaplin, and I sent you...
I've seen Chaplin.
Noises Off, and I sent you
I did not see Noises
else.
Off.
Anyway.
That's 2 hours of time.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Enjoyable. Good
yeah,
time.
Which, you know, I've only got, like, you know,
hour
two and a
half
hours yeah, of my whole life. So.
Uh-huh. In between shows. That's a movie.
There you go.
Yeah. I watched the Perfect Bid.
Oh
yeah, what'd you think?
I want to watch that
Netflix.
Is it good?
I don't know if I've watched that or if I've watched something about that.
I definitely want to watch that.
It was not what I thought it was, because I thought the guy that won was the guy that they were talking to, not the same guy.
Yeah.
It's weird because I couldn't tell if I liked the guy or not.
So the guy who knew all the prices of everything?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the guy that ended up winning, that placed the perfect bid on The Price is Right, he got the answer from this guy who was
in the audience.
Crowd.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, yeah. He went to the show. It was his 37th time there when that happened or something like that.
Right.
Holy moly.
Yeah. But he has a spreadsheet in his head of, like, he can list the prices for darn near everything they've ever had on the show. Up until the point where the guy did the perfect bid. Because then they started, like, changing stuff and, like, not announcing what options are on the cars and all this stuff. And it used to be a thing where they would encourage people, hey, if you watch the show, you can learn the prices and you have a better chance, da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anyway, it was a very good documentary. It was just bizarre because I feel like the guy is somewhere on the spectrum. Either that or he's just a weird, pompous, like, self-egotistical guy.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Kinda.
So.
And, like, I couldn't tell because
he's possible.
Because I was like, I don't know if I like this guy or not. Like, he seems kind of off-putting. But then I feel like if he is somewhere on the spectrum, then I'm like an asshole for saying that. Like, it was very bizarre. Like, I even asked Samantha, I was like, do you like him? And she's like, I don't know. And I was like, me neither. She's like, he's kind of full of himself. I'm like, is he though? Like, I couldn't get a beat on the guy.
That's so cool. Do you watch Jeopardy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, so I mean, I haven't seen the guy, but, like, I've seen
clips of the guy.
You haven't
seen the new guy?
There's a new guy.
There's a new guy.
Oh, yeah.
There's a new guy
who
is...
He's a machine.
Yeah, who is
and
clearly...
And he broke the game.
I shouldn't say clearly, but he seems to me that he is...
Somewhere on the spectrum.
Somewhere on the spectrum. Yeah. Like, he has some kind of, like... Okay, first of all, his personality is just not good.
Yeah, he's like a robot.
He's not good.
He's a robot.
And so Alex,
it's bizarre.
Alex Trebek seems to be doing as well as he can.
1001.
Yes, yeah. He seems to be doing as well as he can. But when I watch it, because I love Jeopardy.
Yeah.
I love watching it.
Yeah.
I love watching it and then like just trying to like, you know, beat the answers.
In the game, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
that's why it's so watchable because you're part of the game.
Right. Yes. But Alex Trebek seems to me like he is really doing a yeoman's job of staying ahead of his personal hate for this guy and promoting him.
I feel
him.
Like he does that for all.
Well, it's also
I guess maybe because it's been like 25 shows that
he's not.
Oh my God.
Quite. Ken Jennings was on for like 70 something.
Right. So this guy.
But
is
Ken
like
Jennings
setting...
has a personality.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was entertaining.
Yeah.
He was entertaining.
This guy has not.
And he also broke the game in the fact that he. Broke it down to find out, like, statistically, a lot of people have done this, but he does it better than anybody else has, where it's like, statistically, the Daily Doubles are going to be in
the
second row from the bottom,
right,
or the second or third row from the bottom, and he starts at the very bottom. So he gets the thousand, gets like $8,000, finds the Daily Double on his next one, boom, 16,000, unbeatable from that point on. And he just does that throughout the whole game to the point where at Final Jeopardy, the other people are still in it.
They're not even close. Right.
It's not even close. So he can just bid... He can go in and bid like 20,000, and if he still loses, he still wins.
Yeah.
Right.
And so he just keeps getting these astronomical numbers, and it's like...
It's very impressive.
But he's like, he said in an interview, like, I can't be beaten. He's like, it's gonna, like, the only way I'll lose is if I accidentally slip up on one of those Daily Doubles. And people are like, yeah, that's the only way he'll lose. It's... And he read the book on like how to do the buzzer the right way,
right?
And like there's literally
a
book on it,
right?
And like he
like a whole book just for buzzing in.
Yep, because like people try to do the like,
you,
click 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 click.
Yeah,
click
you
real
see
fast.
That. You see people like.
And like, every time you click it, there's a quarter of a second delay. And
yeah.
So like he wait and he holds his hands in a specific way, and he holds the buzzer in the hand so that way nothing else moves, and he knows that there's. I think it's a 0.5 second delay before your buzzer becomes active after Alex is done talking.
Right.
And so he knows he's listening and focused on Alex because he has the answer before Alex is done talking because he's a fucking computer. And then he waits and click and he gets it.
Yeah.
More than it. Yeah, it's insane.
It's impressive. It's impressive. At the same time, I'm like, I'm done with this guy.
Right.
That's not fun to watch.
I'm so, yeah, right? and that's it. And, that, as far, and I bet you the
like for a little while, it is.
The, right. the producers and of the really show cool. and the advertisers of the show are probably thinking the same thing. They're right. like, people are done with this guy. Like, right. I'm done with him. Like, he's not, there's, because,
it's
I shouldn't
not
say
exciting.
Because, right, but he's very impressive. He's super yes. duper impressive. But his personality is so lacking in a way that you really root against him.
Yeah.
Like, right. please, somebody, please beat this motherfucker.
Right, where when Ken Jennings was on, it was the first time that's ever happened, so it was, like, right. exciting and impressive. And then someone else came along and didn't quite get up to that level, but
yeah.
was also like, ooh. And then it was like, ooh, can they beat Ken Jennings? Like, that's the draw there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, he's a weird robot, and he's unbeatable, and it's like, okay. And the way I feel for it is the same way I felt about Ken Jennings back in the day, where I was like, this is really cool for me to watch on my couch because I will never be on Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
But people wait their entire lives to be on this show. And then can you imagine you get there and you're like, I'm finally on Jeopardy. And then you look over and you see this robot standing next to you and you're like, son of a bitch.
Hello,
like, and Alex is like, his 45-day win total is $2.7 million. And you're like, wait. What? And then you just like watch, click, 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 and you're like, well,
yeah,
there go. I can't ever do this again. I can't ever do this again, huh?
Right.
Great. Thanks,
yeah.
robot.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks.
Yeah.
See, I'm glad Wheel of Fortune isn't the same way, because when I was on Wheel of Fortune.
Oh,
you
were you on Wheel of Fortune?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Wait, BJ, you were on Wheel of Fortune?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, yes. So looping all the way back around to The Perfect Bid, like, they used to say, like, once you're on the show, you can't be on the show again, so he mm-hmm. stopped going, but then they changed it. When Drew Carey took over, they like rewrote the thing where it's like you can go back after 10 years, and that's when he went back, and then the Perfect Bid thing happened. But it was very enjoyable to watch, to be like, dude, somebody can like learn all this stuff. Like, it's crazy. And like, his story is pretty cool, how like he kept going and kept going, and like he really wanted to get on the show, and he started to form a relationship with the producers, and like, and there's like a couple of shows where they even call him out, where he's like sitting in the crowd, and he's like, trust me.
They acknowledge him, like,
and
from
like,
the crowd.
Yeah,
the stage.
And Bob Barker's like, listen to Theodore. He knows what he's talking about. And then, like, literally, they get it nailed up right on the head, and he's like, I do know. And like, it's cool. So it's cool to watch. But it's just bizarre. Like, he was slightly uncomfortable to watch, but not in a bad way at all. I couldn't get a read on him, I think. And I was just like, I don't know if I like this guy or not. It was weird.
Right.
But it was very fascinating. And then the very last thing I watched was the documentary called Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat.
Yeah.
About food.
I haven't seen all of that.
Oh.
I've watched like half of it.
Yeah, there's four of them. One, Salt, Fat, Acid, and Heat.
Is there only four episodes?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's like
I must
have
watched two of them.
Docuseries.
I have watched three of them.
And she's super charming. She's super charming.
I want to hang out with her.
Yeah. And the food is good.
The only reason I watched it, she was a guest on Dax Shepard's podcast, and I listened to that, and I was like, ooh, I never even heard of that. And then I clicked on it, and I was like, yep.
Yeah.
She is super charming and great.
Yep.
And the food looks real good.
The food looks so good. Like, I have a weak spot for that, like,
I'm already hungry.
Food photography, I guess. I guess it's called.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called. But
no.
But that, like, the imagery of food and, like, presentation of food in a media form that makes you, like, go, yes.
I want it.
And, like, sometimes Chop does it, sometimes. But, like, more of these documentaries where they show, like, slow motion, like, Chef's Table. Oh, my God, Chef's Table. These food that these chefs make, I'm like, I gotta have it now.
I know a guy who's a food photographer in Tennessee, and I'm like, I should just unfollow this dude. Because every time I look at his feed, I'm like, I'm so hungry.
Yeah, it looks so
it's
good.
So impressive.
It
it's
so,
so impressive, yeah. That, like, you present that in a way that's, like, that just makes, triggers people to, like, oh, I gotta have
absolutely.
It.
I love it, though. I love watching shows like that, but I can't watch too many of them.
Yeah.
Is the thing.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I love food shows and all this. And I never even heard of this because it's in the abyss of Netflix, lost in the God knows where.
Right.
And I probably never would have seen it or clicked on it if she hadn't been a guest on that podcast.
If my buddy hadn't mentioned it. Like, he watched it and said, oh, yeah, I watched that. It was good. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
All right.
I had to go and I actually had to search it out because I even scrolled down to, like, the Netflix originals.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's on Dax Shepard's podcast, which is one of the number one podcasts in the country. I was like, it's probably she probably got a huge boost from that.
Yeah.
So I was expecting it to be like front and center on the Netflix originals thing, and it wasn't there. I had to search for it.
It came up on mine, I guess, because maybe we watched
other
enough,
things that you want.
Yeah, enough food stuff that the algorithm.
I'm sure. I'm surprised it wasn't on mine, but it was real good.
Yeah,
and she's just super charming and awesome, and
it just makes me happy to watch people like that succeed.
Yeah,
you know. Like, I'll look at you like a nice person, and you're really endearing and genuine, and really love what you do. And
as opposed to like,
it's working out for you.
Yeah, it's not awesome. Jennifer Aniston or Morgan Fairchild like doing something that like they're good looking. I want to watch them.
Yeah,
you know, it's like somebody who has a great story and a great message.
And she literally started from the bottom and like worked her way up
now
to be
here.
Where she is. Right? It's true. Like it's. I mean, it's dumb.
I don't even know that song, but I know that that's a reference. Now we're here. Started from the bottom. Now I'm here. I am out of sight.
Because I feel like my viewing was enhanced by knowing something about her beforehand.
She have a book too.
Yeah, it's called Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat.
Weird.
Yeah. Which is a really cool way to think about food and cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Like it really is.
She's like, it's these four things. Yeah. That's it. Like,
add more salt. Add more butter.
Yeah, she's right.
Cook it's true. It's true. Like, it's especially true. Like if you're just beginning.
Oh yeah.
Like look, you gotta have salt. You've gotta have salt.
Salt and butter.
And if you want flavor,
if you're not using olive
fat,
oil out there, it'll change your world.
Well, and that's the thing. And that very first one was the fat episode.
Yeah.
Where she's like, you have to have this. You have to.
You have to.
And when she was talking about when she because part of it, she goes to different places for the different things. Mm-hmm. She's in Italy for the fat episode. And the olive oil, I was just like, good God. Can I just have some? Like,
yeah.
Please.
Because I use olive oil for darn near everything, but like not that much. Like, they use it for everything, like four different times in a dish. And I'm like, whoa. Like, it just blew my mind. I was like, holy shit, dude. I thought I was decent in the kitchen, but I don't know jack squat.
Nope.
So, those are the three main things that I watched.
Oh, me? I'll go.
Anybody else watch anything?
I saw the Aladdin remake.
Did you?
I did.
Uh-oh.
It's an Aladdin remake. It's fine. You know. It's fine. It's there. It's a thing that exists. If I had
it's
not
a movie
seen
that
it,
happened, right?
It's a movie that happened. If I had not seen it, my life would be exactly the same as it is now.
I know? Have
I'm not moved
heard
by it at all. There are okay, so
that it's good.
Naomi Scott can sing.
I heard
that girl can sing.
I just listened to
like really well.
Yeah, I just listened to Nerd On talk about the movie,
and good.
They said about if there was about 5 to 10 minutes less Aladdin, the movie would be called Jasmine, and it would have been better.
Yep. Yeah, he was like, he was meh.
And they said,
and Will Smith is the best part of the movie.
Right. That's what they said.
He is.
And one of the guys said that they had a problem; they couldn't unplug the Will Smithness of it.
But, no.
Okay.
No, I would. That wasn't a problem for me. Which I have that problem a lot in a lot of things.
Right.
So I was like, it's just Will Smith being Will Smith.
But I feel like this is where that would shine. Where I was like, he should just be Will Smithy. Like,
he does it a little bit, but not really that much.
Yeah.
Like he's trying to make the role his own, and he does in a lot of ways. I felt like they underutilized like sort of the wackiness.
Right.
Like, 'cause he's saying a lot of wacky things, and sometimes they're doing like the whole like I'll have like a magical thing for that. But they don't do it a lot. And I'm like, is that just that you don't want to like blow your like budget on all this CG or
right.
what?
Right.
But when they do use it, it's effective and it's funny.
I don't know. I still really want to see it. But now, after hearing a bunch of people said it's fine. A bunch of people said it's good. A bunch of people said it's the best of the live action remakes.
I mean, that's not really a lot. I don't think
there's not very. I mean, I like Jungle Book. I think
I like
Jungle
Book's
probably the best one.
Yeah.
But I just I'm curious to why, or I want to know your opinion because the Nerd Eye guy said that like
sure
they lost. It took them out of it because Aladdin wasn't really redeemable. Like, in the cartoon, like, he's really nice and likable. And in this, he's just kind of a jerk.
He's not, I don't know.
Like,
I wouldn't
to
say
the genie.
I wouldn't say he's a jerk. Yeah. Yeah,
like,
he's kind
genie.
Of a jerk to the genie. Yeah, there's a break in the cartoon towards the end where, like, things are going well for Aladdin,
right.
but he still kind of feels bad about
right.
things. This guy doesn't.
Right.
Like, he feels bad. He does, but he's like, he straight up says to the genie, he's like, well, I can't set you free because, like, I need to keep up this ruse.
I gotta keep doing it.
Like, I have to keep doing it.
Where he says that in the cartoon, but he's, like, struggling with it. Where he's like, oh, I can't. Like, I'm sorry, but I can't.
Doesn't struggle with it.
Right. So that's what I've heard. And I'm like, if you don't feel for Aladdin, like, it's kind of.
And he just didn't have, like, the charisma just wasn't there. And here's the thing that I felt about the movie going into it. Really, before the genie showed up, it just felt like Aladdin, but like Aladdin light.
Right.
Is what it felt like. It felt like a watered down Aladdin. Like, the things just didn't have the same oomph.
So you were not excited about the movie.
I wasn't excited about it going into it.
Right.
I wasn't not excited about going into it.
Right.
It was kind of neutral. Okay. I came out of it kind of neutral. So maybe that is
something. Do you think you'll see it, Jared?
I will not see it in theaters, but I will definitely watch it.
You don't need to.
Yeah.
I heard, what I did hear was that there's a scene where, like, the genie rewinds time to go back to hear what Aladdin said, which is probably one of the best parts of the movie. He's like, whoa, hold up, let's go back. And he goes, and I heard that looks spectacular in 3D, apparently.
Oh, nice.
So I'm like, oh, all right. But, like, that's not a reason to see it in the theater.
I thought maybe they would, like, back up and then, like, accidentally get to Robin Williams being the genie, like, whoops, too far, and then go back and then go, here we go.
I wish. I was just saying that. I was like, Will Smith is great. Like, he's the best part.
That's
cool. He's far and above the best part of this movie. There are a couple gripes that I have that they don't, like, kill them. Like, again, I feel nothing for this.
Right.
I just felt nothing for this movie. Iago is not Iago. Like, he just doesn't really. He talks, but, like, not. He's not really a character. He's, like, pretty much removed from this movie.
Yeah,
they kind of do all the animals.
Like, I hate to keep saying it, but, like, they're not. I just listened to it today, so it's in my mind.
Bring it up.
But, like, what's his name? Peter. Peter Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk
is Iago.
Yeah, you have Alan Tudyk as
Iago.
And
they cast him, who's one of the greatest, like, character actors, voice actors, whatever you want to call him, of the age.
Yeah,
and he apparently does nothing.
Nothing. Nothing,
like,
at
why
all.
Why cast him? Like, why get a name for a character that
anyone
exist?
Could have done what he did in this movie?
That's dumb.
Not to like downplay Alan Tudyk at all, but he's criminally underutilized. So, like, all the, like, and it spills over into Jafar, like, because a lot of, like, what makes Jafar fun and watchable is his repartee with Iago,
right?
And that's just gone. Ooh. It's just non-existent. That said, they do give Jafar, like, a little bit more. Like, he's not just a cartoon villain, obviously,
right.
Because he's not a cartoon.
He needs motivation and backstory or something.
And he has it, and it works. Like, he's another decent part of the movie. But what they did dirty, the other thing that I could not forgive, is they took away his Prince Ali reprise.
Oh,
which is,
man.
Like, it's the only I'm pretty sure it's the only instance in where a Disney villain takes the hero's song and throws it right back in his face like that. And it's so good. It's so good. And they just took it out completely. Come on, guys. And they took it out to give, like, Jasmine some songs. And I know why I'm thinking Jasmine songs. They're just not great. And she can sing.
Is it because she's fine?
It's because they're playing up the
girl power
thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Because in the previews, that's what I thought.
Which is, you know,
she's fine.
Which is still part of the movie. Like, Jasmine wants to be what Jasmine is. But in this movie, she's like, I want to be Sultan. Like, she straight up wants power. And I'm like, somebody's
been
watching
different.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's different. That's different.
You know what happens to those girls. But she was good, but the song was just kind of meh for me. Like, I just didn't really get anything from it. So,
So it's not going to be winning any Best Original Song Oscars?
I don't think so. No, because there's that song, and I think that's the only, there's like one other original song, and it was forgettable too. Their whole new world was spectacular.
Nice.
Like, they nailed that.
That's so funny.
They nailed that.
When I moved to Seattle years ago and got a job at the Spirit of Puget Sound that Tiger never worked at, but, like, what he was connected to. A whole new world. I had never seen Aladdin,
right.
But we did that as part of the very first, like, shows that
don't
I learned.
Don't you dare close
exactly
your eyes.
Exactly, that's the part too. Don't you dare close your eyes. Like, that was, like, the thing that we had to learn and do, and I never knew what that was from.
Hold your breath, it gets better.
Yeah,
and she dominates that song. He's not bad.
Right.
He's fine, but she's, like, clearly the better singer, and it shows in spades.
Cool.
So they should have made a Jasmine movie.
Yeah. Also, she weirdly looks exactly like Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Huh.
Like, almost dead on. I mean, she's browner, obviously.
Right, yeah.
But, oh, wow.
What are the dogs barking at?
I don't know.
They're just going in a bark fest today.
On the complete opposite end of the spectrum, I finally watched Hereditary.
Ooh, I haven't seen that yet either.
Now, what's the story on that one?
Hereditary is a movie about Jeez, how do I even describe this movie?
Sounds like a horror movie.
It is. It's a horror movie.
Okay.
It starts out with the matriarch, maybe not matriarch, but the grandmother of a family. She passes away, and it's the ensuing happenings that happen after that. Like the youngest daughter in the family, it was like weirdly connected to her in some way, and you don't really know why or how or what. And it's weird things start to happen, and it's good.
Yeah.
It's, if you like scary movies, you will like this movie.
Is it part of
If you don't like scary movies, you will hate this movie.
Is it part of Insidious so. Thing? No, okay, good.
Mm.
I feel like all the scary movies coming out now are connected
part
to that.
Part of Insidious.
Yeah. I'm like, they don't all need to be the same thing.
But now I get why people were, like, not like the whole world, but a lot of people were, like, kind of clamoring for Toni Collette to get nominated for an Oscar because she acts her freaking face off in this movie.
Nice.
It is. And it's, wow, it's super believable as, like, the falling apart mother trying to figure things out. Like, she was good, real good. It was one of those, and I've watched most of like the newer horror movies, but this one is one of the few that's like stuck with me like days later. Like,
that's
I was
awesome.
I did not go to sleep right
is
away
it
that,
on
that
did
night
you see it streaming
either.
or is it?
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime.
Oh, sweet. I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah
I'm stoked.
Yeah, that
I
one
good things about it.
Stuck with me.
Nice. Anything else you see? No,
I did.
Oh, keep going.
Go on.
That's
the whole episode.
Look at those dogs. I can go forever, baby. I watched The Edge of 17 on Netflix.
I don't think I've heard of this one.
Coming of age movie. It stars Woody Harrelson and Haley Steinfeld. You know her?
The name rings a bell, and I probably know the.
She plays the part of the young girl in the True Grit remake.
She's great.
She's great.
She is great.
She's great. She's a great actress.
She's like,
really
that
good
makes
in this
me
want to
watch this like really bad.
Yeah, she's really good in it.
Good.
And Woody Harrelson is like modern Woody Harrelson, who he's just like he's like kind of old and like grumpy, but he's really good too. He plays her teacher, and she's, you know, a 17-year-old. She's trying to figure out being in high school and being a teenager, and it's very not typical in a lot of ways, as some of the teenage movies have become. Like, it's very real.
What is cool? Sorry, I missed the title.
Edge of 17.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, did you see True Grit, the remake?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's the girl.
The young girl. Yeah.
Who's, like, if you watch that movie,
yeah,
she really stands out.
Fantastic.
For sure.
And so she stars in it.
And they give her a lot to do in this movie, and she does all of it very well.
Nice.
I recommend it.
Is that also on Amazon?
That's on Netflix.
Ooh.
Yep.
Sweet.
Cool.
Anything else? BJ? BJ, what did
you
I watch?
Did. I've watched a lot of stuff.
Do tell.
Would you watch Beach?
I watched a lot of stuff. But, gotta tell you, I watched a lot of stuff.
I watched a lot of stuff.
You can't remember.
No, I've got to. I have notes. I wrote it down.
That's why I wrote it down.
I also wrote down. You wanted to talk about. Hey, you can be in a movie.
Okay, so that's about Death Wish. The original Death Wish with Charles Bronson that I watched. So I wanted to watch. You know, when you're like, sometimes it's like I want to put something on that I know, you know, and I'm doing other stuff that I've already watched, but I want to like take it all in again while I'm doing something else.
Yeah.
So The Office works great for that because you can just listen to it and it kind of like you can like appreciate it again.
Absolutely.
So I was like, all right, I really want to watch Marvelous Mrs. Maisel again because it's excellent.
Nice.
And I want to watch it again.
Yeah.
And so, but instead, while I'm looking on Prime. And making my way through the Prime, you know, user interface.
Right.
I'm like, Death Wish, huh?
It's just sitting there.
Yeah,
like, would you be interested in Death Wish?
Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay, let's watch Death Wish. So I put on Death Wish on Prime, and my first instinct was like watching it, going, Charles Bronson is shit. he's shit. He has absolutely he looks to me like, and if you watch it like even for 20 minutes and like think that this is a dude who they literally grabbed off the street and said say these lines and do these things, it would seem like, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay,
that makes sense. Yeah, that this is somebody that they pulled out of the street.
That's fantastic.
Like, I don't know if he was like a big star at the time or something. I mean, he gets top billing.
Yeah,
but like, you watch this movie and you're like, what do you do? He expresses nothing the entire time.
PJ is mad.
So I don't know if you've ever watched Death Wish. Mm-mm. No, doesn't ring a bell.
I'm not gonna now.
There's a remake, isn't there?
There's a remake with Bruce Willis.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So
watch that one.
But Death Wish is kind of like, you know, it's a fairly you know, big movie. Like they made a whole series of movies. They made four or five of them.
Holy crap.
Yeah. It's like at least four, maybe even more. But anyway, so I'm watching this movie and I'm like looking at him as the leading guy, and I'm like, he is shit. He doesn't like emote a single thing.
Womp, womp.
His wife is like murdered at the beginning, which is no big surprise, you know. Yeah. His wife and his daughter is raped at the beginning. So first of all, let me back up.
I got you.
Thank you. One of the reasons I watched it was I'm looking through Amazon Prime, and they give you the little like synopsis of the movie, and the synopsis of the movie says a liberal. A bleeding heart liberal, you know, which is like, okay, like a loaded, super loaded term.
Right.
Bleeding heart liberal changes his tune after his wife and daughter are assaulted. You know, and that's like the story of Death Wish 1.
Sure.
And so they give you a little bit of like food of like, by the way, he's a left wing, like, bleeding heart liberal.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea, first of all, that it was politically, like, biased at all, or, like, politically, like, motivated at all. So, but, like, so I'm like, especially because it said that in the description of the,
clickbait.
Of the thing. Yes. Like, really? That's what this movie's about?
No,
so I'm like, okay, let's watch it. And it's fun to watch because, first of all, it's dated as hell.
Mm-hmm.
So when you watch it, Herbie Hancock does the music for the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, which makes you think, oh, it must be pretty good. But it's not bad, but it's just super duper duper dated. You like listen to them and watch movies, and you realize like completely how dated
this
and,
is
like,
from another
time.
And
what generation it comes from.
Word.
And like this is like 70s up and down, all up and down.
Yeah.
So so I go to watch this movie, and you know they what happens. I know what happens. Like, okay, he's they give you a little bit of like information that like lets you know that he's a bleeding heart liberal, that like they're like he works for someone, and but somebody
cares
mentions
about the environment,
somebody mentions it to him like, oh, you're bleeding heart liberal, you think blah 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 blah.
Oh,
and it, dude, I'm telling you, like, you need to watch this movie because it's
do
so
I, though?
You, only if not to laugh at it and to like see like what they were trying to do with it.
You are known for watching bad movies.
I am known.
Yes,
for that.
Yes, yes. So this is a perfect bad movie because there's lots of things
all
to
right,
point
all
at.
Right.
Like Charles Bronson is horrible.
I'll check it
as
out.
Far as I can tell in it. He's terrible. So there is him and his wife on his beautiful vacation in Hawaii, and he smile, take a picture, and he's like. Anybody they pulled off the street could have done the same thing as Charles Bronson does. So they get home from New York, and all of a sudden the realities of the big city hit them. It's the whole city's a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And crime is rampant everywhere.
Wait, in Hawaii?
No, this is in New York. So after they get back to
okay,
New York.
Okay.
So they go to Hawaii
okay.
for a brief little time, and they have
gotcha,
this like
gotcha.
They're setting up
the magical...
fact that him and his wife love each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so they have this Hawaii vacation where they love each other and everything's pristine, and they come back to New York and everything is shit. So so they go to a grocery store, and in the grocery store there are these hoodlums who are running around and causing trouble.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, one of them is Jeff Goldblum, which is fun to see.
All right. Now I'm in. Now I.
Yeah, there's a lot of like.
You
like,
had my interest. Now you have my attention.
Yeah, there's a lot of like little things in there that make you go, "What? Oh wow!" So Jeff Goldblum plays literally a very little part,
mm-hmm.
and one of the lines he has is, "Don't give me no jive." So anyway, it's great. So let me look at the notes that I wrote, because I wrote a lot of notes.
What else did you watch?
Well, this is all Death Wish, because
I
wrote a lot of notes
about
Death Wish.
We're going to get a whole
essay.
You are. Review
what
on
I wanted to do,
stupid, shitty movie.
What
great.
I wanted to do was like do a whole piece about it, like Maddie Warburton style. So anyway, I'll give you the Cliff Notes version of my...
Oh, that wasn't it?
So after his wife and daughter are assaulted and his wife dies from the assault, he suddenly, you find out that he is that his mom and dad, his mom was peacenik and his dad was a gun guy. And then ever since he decided that he was going to be a peacenik because he, to honor his mother. And so he hadn't picked up a gun in forever. Okay, so after his wife and daughter get assaulted and the police give a very shitty response to it, like, oh, it's just the big city.
Sorry.
We can't do anything about it, you know.
Hopefully just like that.
Move to Gotham.
Pretty much like that. That he's like, okay, and then he goes on a trip to Tucson, and in Tucson he gets the lecture from people from Tucson about how, like, out here it's all about the guns.
Oh my
and
God.
It's so ridiculous and so, like, politically, like, especially for today's standards, like, anybody who watches it today would be like, oh my God, like, listen to this. This whole thing is a crack up. And so he's like, we don't have any problem in Tucson because everybody knows that everyone's got a gun and they'll blow these guys' heads off.
Wow.
So he goes back to New York, and son of a gun, if, like, trouble doesn't find him every single time he leaves the house.
Yeah.
Every time.
He better get a gun.
So he gets a gun. He brings it back from Tucson.
That's right.
And he starts – well, first of all, he starts with quarters and a sock. And he goes out with quarters and a sock, and he whacks a guy in the face with his quarters and a sock. And I think he gets the taste for it. And so before long, like, literally the way the movie progresses is every single time he leaves the house, there is an assault or something happens to him or something that is in his, like, line of sight where he's, like, walking through the alley and he sees somebody getting attacked and he's got to go help him. And then he straight up murders everybody, like, that he sees, and then the police are after him.
Well, that escalated.
Now, did you ever see Little Shop of Horrors, the movie?
Yeah.
So Vincent Gardenia, who plays Mr. Mushnick, is the, like, lead detective. And somehow, miraculously, the absolute lack of care that you have at the first part where his wife is, like, murdered, and he's like, I don't know if anything's going to happen.
Yeah, it's a big city. It's a big city. What are you going to do?
So, but apparently, like, because there's this vigilante out there killing people,
I better do my job.
Yes, yes. And it's like super-duper extra police action.
Well, these crimes are real.
Yes, right. So that he's like on his tail the entire movie, like he's trying to find him. It's a crack up to watch. It's all a crack up to watch. It's funny, you're like, oh, someone's daughter is assaulted and his wife is killed. A crack up?
Right.
No, it's a crack up.
Yeah.
It's a crack up to watch. And and so the very last scene, I'm cutting this all really short, but, like, literally every time he leaves the house, there's another example where he has to pull out his gun and dispense some justice.
That's damn right he does.
Yes. So
that's what they're for. Right?
At the end of the movie, the police have like his, like, blood, or they have his gun. They have him cornered.
Right.
So instead of entering it into the evidence, like a good policeman, and the policeman who finds it is Christopher Guest.
Nice.
Yes, it's great. It's great. Gives it to Vincent Gardenia, and instead of, like, Vincent Gardenia saying, like, we'll put it in the file and file this and all this, he's like, no, give it to me and don't tell anybody. And then he goes to visit Charles Bronson in the hospital, who he got shot during his last, like, escapade. He says, just leave town and we'll forget about all this, which is such bullshit. It's super duper bullshit. It's so bad.
I hate when that's the end of a movie.
Just leave town.
Yeah.
Or when the cop's like, you know what? You were justified. Like,
that's pretty much
like,
what they
like,
do.
I love Gone in 60 Seconds. It's like a cheese fest. Nicolas Cage, movie.
That's my actual guilty pleasure movie.
I love that movie.
It's like the number
but
one.
But like, literally the cop's been chasing him his entire career. Like, you're always just get away from me. You always just get away from me. You always just get away from me. And then he finally literally busts him, stealing 50 cars overnight.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know what? It was for family. Just go on. Get out of
right,
here.
Right.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
Exactly. So
arrest this man.
That's very similar to the end of Death Wish 1, where he says, just leave town, just not New York.
Does he hand him the
gun
back?
The end is, no.
You're going to need this.
Right, yeah.
Where you're
pretty much. So the end of this movie is like him going to Chicago. And then he gets to Chicago and literally is being welcomed to Chicago as an assault is happening that he's happened to be present for, which he's a present for every single assault
of
all time. And so the end of the movie is him like, you know, at the bad guys, like, I see you, you know, beep, boop, and, like, implying that, like,
I hope he makes that noise.
You. Right, yeah, implying that, like, yeah, that he's gonna dispense justice throughout Chicago as well.
Damn
which
right
I don't know if
is.
Death Wish 2 and 3 and 4 are that, but
I can't
anyway.
Believe there are four of them.
There are at least four, so part of me wants to kind of watch them all.
That's
but
fantastic.
it was quite a scene, and I never did get around to Mrs. Maisel.
I mean, clearly it moves you in some way.
It did. It really did. Especially was the political angle of the whole thing, yeah. And I was like, holy shit! You know, like I never thought, because people always like Hollywood is so leftist,
mm-hmm.
But this is a movie that is so clearly right wing, yeah. And like, you know, right wing. It's just very traditionally right wing, I should say, but. Fun stuff. Fun stuff. Know.
We built this city
on death.
Okay.
Did you watch anything else?
I did. I
Are you
no,
sure?
You watched Death Wish seven times this week.
I'm very adamant about it.
Yeah, Death Wish is my main thing. Like, literally, I was like, I'm watching it. I'm like, I can't wait. I'm going to make a whole Matt Warburton style thing about it. And I just didn't get around to it. I still might.
You
I still, I still
you
may.
Should. You should.
But, I watched Wine Country on Netflix.
Oh, how was that?
Have you heard of that?
No, I've heard of it. Yeah.
Don't know.
So it was very good. I'm
Amy,
like
Amy Poehler and friends.
It's a
being funny.
It's
word.
A it's like a buddy movie. You yeah. know, like a female buddy movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so Amy Poehler. God, what's the one actress she's in?
Maya Rudolph.
Maya Rudolph, but that's not who I'm thinking of. Maya
like,
Rudolph.
Yes.
Is in it.
Tina Fey.
Anna Gasteyer.
Tina Fey is in it too. Anna Gasteyer is in it. Anna Gasteyer must be the one I'm thinking of.
Probably.
Yeah, who's probably in,
she
in
was
a lot
on
of
SNL.
Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. She's in it, and it's a good movie, and it's got a really decent script to it. You know, and it's a buddy female movie. They deal with a lot of
Amy Poehler directed that.
Amy
yes.
Poehler,
did
Rachel
she direct
Grange, Anna Gasteyer, yeah. Maya Rudolph.
That's what I heard.
Directed by Amy Poehler.
Oh okay.
I
yeah, that
correct.
Makes sense. That makes sense. But it's good that they kind of like in realistic ways kind of like bring to light some kind of like sunlight to relationships of friends,
mm-hmm.
that where you kind of look the other way a lot of times, but like you
yeah.
know, but when the other person will like, you know, so-and-so is always blah 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 blah, you know,
yeah.
kind of bitching.
That's just the way they are.
Yeah, and it's a good buddy movie, a little bit formulaic, but they deliver the goods. They deliver the goods with all everybody's funny in
right
it.
On.
Every single person is funny in it, and delivers those goods.
Word.
And then the script has some stuff in it that is like kind of traditionally, formulaically, you know, makes the serious drama out of the comedy.
Yeah.
But they do it in a good way, and it's I've watched it twice. It's entertaining.
Nice.
Yeah. It's entertaining. All so right.
Wine
that's good stuff.
I dig it.
I watch other nice. Stuff too. What else?
Heed.
Oh, okay. So I watched a show called on Prime, on Amazon Prime, called Fleabag. I don't know if you've heard of this movie, this show
nope.
or not.
Sure
so
haven't.
It's in.
It's on Amazon. I am oblivious.
Me too. In the same way that I found.
You have Amazon.
I sure do.
Exactly. The same way that I found Death Wish by like, I'm going to Amazon Prime because I want to put on
Mrs. Maisel
yeah. because that's going to be good time filler and good like taking it in on another level.
Yeah.
I found Death Wish and then I found
Fleabag.
And Fleabag is the production of. It's a. Did you ever watch Louis?
Yes.
Like Louis C.K.?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And which I loved.
Both of them.
Both of the shows? Cause
both of the shows, because he had an HBO show for a while, and then he had the FX show.
The FX show, though, is what I'm thinking
yeah.
of.
The longer running one.
Yeah, and that one was more, because what I remember watching that one, thinking that, like, this is clearly a product of the creator,
yeah.
of Louis C.K., And I enjoyed it. Like I enjoyed literally
show.
Every single thing about that show.
That
I enjoyed
really
it. Like some of it was like make you mad. Some of it would crack you up. Some of it make you cry.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like clearly it was coming from him.
Yeah.
And so that's what Fleabag is. Like you really feel like it's really a product of the person who stars in it and who writes in it too.
She wrote it.
Her name is Phoebe Waller.
Bridge.
Phoebe Waller Bridge.
Yeah.
It's a little bit raunchy.
Yeah.
Which is. Fun, which is real,
cool.
And it's a good story.
It's got 8.5 out of 10 on IMDb.
Yep. So,
oh,
so Fleabag, and then the reason I watched it was because I heard about it on NPR. They're doing an interview with Phoebe Waller-Bridge, and
a comedy series adapted from the award-winning play about a young woman trying to cope with life in London whilst coming to terms with recent tragedy.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. Her mother and her best friend are dead.
Boo.
So.
Nice.
But it's good. It's very good. In fact, I would give it 2 thumbs up and say, please go ahead, check it out. It's great stuff.
I will not do that.
Of course you won't. Yeah, of course you won't. I'll never watch Aladdin. So.
It's all right.
You are not missing out.
Anything else?
No. Yeah, I'm sure I did watch other stuff, but I forget it.
I know I did.
Oh, well.
We can get into others. Well, we both watched
Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali.
Ooh,
yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll watch that and we'll talk about it next week.
It's good.
I think you should do that.
Okay.
And we can talk about
it's
it.
It's a two-parter, too. So it's a lot.
It's about 4 hours of stuff.
HBO doc?
HBO doc.
God, there's so many things coming out on HBO documentaries that they're, like, working it.
It's
like, I really want to watch The Heart of Gold.
Hmm?
It's an HBO documentary about the gymnastics.
Oh, yes.
Scandal.
Yeah,
pedophilia scandal.
Oh, that. Yes.
Yeah.
I've heard that's a very compelling.
Is that already out?
Documentary. I think so.
Ooh, I'm
on HBO.
That. I want to watch that immediately.
I think it's out already.
Their documentaries are so good.
They are good.
They're so good. And so anyway. I'll check that out. But it's a two-part on Muhammad Ali.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what David, our producer,
what's my name?
I love their sports docs.
Cassius Clay?
Especially.
It's not Cassius. What's my name? It's so impressive.
I was surprised like how far along that part, because I thought obviously because I wasn't born at the time, so I wasn't there. My knowledge of the specifics of the Cassius Clay versus Muhammad Ali thing was a little bit limited. I didn't realize like that late into his career, people were still insisting on calling him Cassius Clay.
Right.
And I'm like, he'd already proven he was like probably the best boxer ever to box.
Right.
And people were still egging him on that way. Like, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I was watching like the actual like interview footage of it happening. I'm like, how could you still be doing this? Like,
yeah, and it's funny too because part of it is like, promotion for the fight, like you want to gin up as much like animosity and drama as you possibly can,
right?
So people tune in and watch. Also, a lot of it was like clearly like
very genuine.
Muhammad Ali, what the fuck?
Yeah,
like your name's Cassius Clay. That's what I'm going to call you.
Yeah,
you know? And so there's a lot of that. It's really, really, really good.
I will watch it.
Jared.
And so yeah, so
we can talk about that.
So David, our producer, wanted to know if I remembered.
Him
Muhammad
being
Ali
Cash
before kept being being Cassius Clay, which I don't. He was one of those athletes or personalities that like he was Muhammad Ali, and then I learned, he used to be called Cassius Clay.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when the movie Sgt. Pepper's came out and all those songs. I'm like, oh, these are good songs, but you know these are actually Beatles songs,
right?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah,
yeah.
And the same with basketball player. Kareem
Abdul-Jabbar,
right. He was always Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And then,
Then
I found out his name is Lou Alcindor before all that. And, I remember Chris Jackson. I don't know if you remember that basketball player. He wasn't nearly as big as any of these folks, but he changed his name to Mahmoud something.
There's a great older movie on HBO starring Don Cheadle. I don't know if it's called The Goat, but it's about a street ball player named Earl the Goat Manigault. And he played with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, like street basketball.
Uh-huh.
Great movie. That was like a mid-90s movie,
interesting.
I think. Like
interesting.
HBO, made for HBO movie. Find it. If it's on there, find it and
right
watch
on.
It. I remember
it. But What's My Name, Muhammad Ali on HBO is fantastic.
Speaking of made for HBO movies, I believe Deadwood is out as of today.
No, tomorrow.
As of this recording, it's out.
Yes,
once
you're right.
Are listening to this.
Yeah,
I honestly thought it was today. One of my dilemmas
is
the 31st,
like,
so
tomorrow, I'm busy all day tomorrow. Like, I have a doctor's
you're not
appointment.
That busy. Are you a cocksucker?
You filthy cocksucker. So tomorrow, I won't be able to watch it until. And Saturday's busy too. I might not be able to watch it until Sunday or so. But I'm watching that.
Nice.
By the time this airs,
yeah.
I will have watched Deadwood the movie.
That's
nice.
Dope.
And I'm super excited.
I can tell. That's
super
awesome.
Excited.
Good times.
Right on.
Cool. Well, I will check out Muhammad Ali. Is it just called Ali or something? Muhammad
it's called
Ali.
What's My
What's
Name?
My Name?
Yeah.
dig it.
Bitch.
I dig it. I love HBO documentary. Like, there's sports documentaries too. There was one on there called Sport in America, Why We Love Sports or something like that.
With Brian Gumbel or no?
It was just a bunch of like talking head interviews with a bunch of random people about like, oh, when I was six, I snuck into Madison Square Garden. It just so happened to be, you know, the Celtics playing, and like all this stuff. And it's just like everyone's story about why
sports creates magic for people.
It's and it was so good. I was just sitting there like, I feel the same exact way. Like, I don't know if you can find that one. I don't know why they would have removed it, but I believe it was called Sport in America.
Okay.
And it was so very, very good. I watched it years ago.
Right this on. Muhammad Ali documentary is produced by, amongst other folks, produced by LeBron James, which also has a show on HBO called The Shop, which I watched three or four episodes of that as well.
Is that good?
It is good. It's good just because...
It's just a talk show, right? Or is it scripted?
It's not scripted, I don't think. I think they just talk... It's just real free form of them all in the barbershop, and then everyone's getting their hair done.
It could be a podcast.
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
Right. It's just people shooting the shit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. But it's good. And it's people you want to hear from.
Right.
You know, you know, which is, you know, not us.
But, hey. No.
But, hey, you know, the celebrities, you know. And so that it's good. And then they have some episodes coming up. One with Seth Rogen, so I gotta give it a shot. So he sits down.
So you can justify your hatred.
Well, he sits down with a bunch of brothers. Maybe I'll change. Maybe he'll do so well with LeBron James and a bunch of black dudes that I'll change my mind.
Maybe.
Not likely.
They'll probably smoke weed.
Not likely.
I'm sure.
Probably.
Cool. Well, thanks everyone out there for listening to the show, we'll catch you next week. But for now, this has been Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And I'm Rich.
And we'll see you on the couch.
Life's a binge.
Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.
What could I do? Okay, all right.
If this wasn't a theme song, it would be an 80s pop hit.
It absolutely would. Courage will pull us through. You teach me. says Solo's coming up, right?
This is the extended version now. That's where the theme song ends, where we just stop.
Yeah. I'm imagining Solo right here.
Yeah.
I believe this is where you say, called it.
Need a breather after that.
This is serious, like 80s rocking stuff.
That's what makes it good. So good. Anyway,